The 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs, beginning in verse number 10, as I said, very familiar passage of scripture. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So that's reading Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, as I said, a very, very familiar passage of scripture. And I'm going to kind of go easy this morning and maybe take my time just a little bit, and probably not going to preach hard like that I usually do. But there's several things that stand out to me in this passage of Scripture. And certainly, as I've said many times, it's far more than I can cover. I can't cover every verse in the time that we have. But we want to point out some that we find some things about a good woman, a good mother, a good godly mother. And I want to say, as I said before, that I thank God for a godly mother. I thank God that my mother is that kind of mother. She was and she is that kind of mother. And so was my grandmother Bishop. She was and she is a godly mother, and a godly grandmother, and a great example of faith to her children and to her grandchildren, as my mother is. And then I had two wonderful godly great-grandmothers that were alive unto me and that walked before me, my great-grandmother Kilgore, and then also my great-grandmother Bishop. And they were both good godly women and loved the Lord and served the Lord all the days of their life. And I thank God not only for those that are in my direct line of descent, but also aunts and other women, women in the church that down through the years that walked before me and was that good example of what a Christian ought to be. And there's a few things that we want to point out this morning that describe a godly mother. And first of all, I want to look in verse number 15. And we see that she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. May I say that we can see from verse number 15 that a good godly mother, she provides for her own. A good godly mother, may I say that the same goes for a good godly father as well. Irregardless of whether it's mother or dad, if their heart's right with the Lord, and if they're a real mother and they're a real dad this morning, they will put their children, as far as their family life is concerned, they will put their children first above all else. Their children will have their priority in their life. And it's sad to say that in a lot of cases and a lot of instances in this day and age that we're living in, that such is not the case in the family. There's many a so-called mother and many a so-called dad that put their own interest and their own desires and their own wants before their children. But I'm here to tell you that a good godly mother this morning, she's going to put her children, and not only her children, but if she has them, her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren, she's going to put them before herself. And a good godly dad's going to do the same. And I want to say this morning that as far as the family life is concerned, that the good godly mom and the good godly dad, they're going to put their children before their spouse. And I want to tell you, if their spouse this morning is where their heart is right with God, and they are where that they ought to be with the Lord, and if they are the kind of mother and the kind of dad that they ought to be this morning, they're going to be all right with that. You know, I expected my wife, as my children were growing up, I expected my wife to put my children before me. And my wife expected that I would put my children before her. That our children were the most important thing that God had given us in this life, beloved friend. And I want to tell you, beloved, this morning that the children are a gift from the Lord. And we're living in a day and a time and an age where people will say that, you know, really, maybe the world has gotten so evil and the world has gotten so bad that maybe we ought not to bring any more children into the world. But I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, that the command that God gave unto Adam and to Eve when he placed them, when he created them, he made them, and he placed them in the Garden of Eden, that command that God gave them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, my beloved friend, that command has never been done away with. And the greatest thing that you and I have as men and as women that we can do in this world is to be a good daddy and to be a good mama to our children that God has blessed us with. If God has seen fit to bless us with children, beloved friend, we need to be thankful of that. And it's the most important job that we've got to do, raising children in this world. Now, I want to tell you, beloved friend, it's evident from what we see on the college campuses that's going on that there's a lot of mamas and a lot of daddies that fell down on the job and have not raised their children in the way that they ought to do. But I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, a real mother this morning will put her children before herself, and she will provide for their needs, and she will do what she has to see that the needs of her children are fulfilled, my beloved friend, because she knows that it's her duty and her responsibility to do so. And I want to tell you, a good godly daddy will do the same. The Bible tells us, Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:8, he said, if any provide not for his own, amen, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, amen, if we're not willing this morning to work and to labor and to do what we can to provide for the sustenance of our family, I'm here to tell you our heart is not right in the sight of God. We may not have much, a great deal, in this life, but I want to tell you, a good godly mama and a good godly daddy will do all that they can, amen, to provide for their children. That means if daddy wants a bass boat, my beloved friend, but he can't buy clothes for his children to wear to school, amen, he'll give up the bass boat. Amen, if mama, my beloved friend, would like a new dress, and maybe she'd like a diamond or something like that, but she can't have that without being able to properly feed her children, I'm here to tell you she'll forego the diamonds and she'll forego the new dress, my beloved friend, and to see that her children are provided for. But so many we see today are selfish, my beloved friend. And they would rather, and they're willing to go to just about any lengths to provide for their own wants and neglect their children. But I'm here to tell you, a good godly mama and a good godly daddy ain't going to do that this morning. They're going to do for their children, my beloved friend. And so a good godly mother, we can see by verse number 15 that she's going to provide for her own. Then I want you to look at verse number 26. Verse number 26, he says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I want to tell you, my beloved friend, she openeth, a good godly mother openeth her mouth with wisdom. That is, my beloved friend, she teaches her children. And I think about as Paul wrote that young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and he told him, he said, I call to remembrance of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And he said, Timothy, I am persuaded that that same unfaith is in thee also. I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, a good godly mother, my beloved, she will teach her children in the way that they should go, my beloved friend. And Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 5:14, speaking of the younger women, he said, I will there for that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Paul said the number one duty that you young women have got to do, you bring children into this world and you teach those children and you bring those children up in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. That is the number one duty and the number one responsibility that all of us have to do, amen, whether male or female this morning, is that we bring our children, if God blesses us with them, up in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. And I want to tell you, my beloved friend, this morning, that responsibility does not stop with our children, but if we have grandchildren and we have great-grandchildren, they could not have come into this world were it not for you and I, and we have a responsibility to them that we guide them and be a light to them just as much, my beloved friend, as we are to be a light, amen, to our children. Yet I see a lot of grandparents, and I've heard them make the statements, I raised my children, they're not my responsibility. I'm here to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, amen, if you have grandchildren and you have great-grandchildren, you have a responsibility to them, amen, to be a light to them. And as you have opportunity to teach them and instruct them in the things of the Lord, just as much as you do your children this morning. And I want to tell you, if your children are not taking them down to the house of God, you have more so of a responsibility this morning. I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, amen, God has only blessed me with one grandchild, and I thank the Lord that Andrew and Michelle are raising Abigail up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that they're nurturing her in the Lord, that they're teaching her about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I have a responsibility and I have a duty, my beloved, amen, to be a light in the life of that little girl, just as much as Mama and Daddy do this morning. I want to tell you this morning, my beloved, amen, a good godly mother, she will open her mouth in wisdom. She will teach her children. And I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, amen, Paul writing in Titus 2:5, speaking to the aged women, and he declared that the aged women, amen, are to teach the younger women. Notice this, what he said, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I want to tell you, my beloved friend, when your children grow up, my beloved, the responsibility to them and to teach them and to admonish them and to guide them does not end when they turn 18 years old. But beloved friend, the older women are to teach the younger women to be good and chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands. And the older women ought to be And may I say, you and I that are of the male persuasion this morning, you and I that are men, amen, we have a responsibility that we might be a lad and teach the younger men how they need to live for the Lord and how they need to walk with God this morning. And we have that responsibility. And I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, a good godly woman, she will open her mouth with wisdom. And she will teach her children. Amen. Proverbs 22:6, he said, train up a child in the way that he shall go. And when he is old, he will not, amen, depart from it. I believe that this morning, don't you? Thank God I claim that this morning. I claim that for my children. And I thank God that both of my boys are saved by the grace of God. Amen. Brody right now is not faithful like he ought to be to the house of God. But he's got a different job now. And Dad's going to be working on him. Amen. To get him down. Amen. To the house of God. I want to tell you, beloved friend. Amen. A good godly mother is going to train up her children in the ways of the Lord and the things of God. And I thank God for my mother. I've told you about this before. But some of my earliest memories of my childhood, amen, growing up there on Ashley Street, was sitting in that living room, my mother sitting in an armchair, and it had great big arms on it about this wide, and then maybe one of us children would be sitting on one arm, and another, I'm talking about the three oldest, the other children sitting on the other arm, and another laid at her feet, and she would read to us from that King James Bible, and then when she got done reading, she'd ask us questions. And if we hadn't got it, and we couldn't answer her questions, she'd read it to us again. And she'd keep reading it to us till we got it and could answer her questions. I'm here to tell you, amen, a good godly mama this morning. It is important to teach our children of the things of this life and beloved friend and of life in general and holding down a job and everything like that and seeing that they've got a good education in this world as far as that's concerned. Amen, to have their best chance in life. But I want to tell you the most important thing we can teach our children this morning is the fear and the admonition of the Lord. It's to know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm Andrew, as I said, just graduated. Amen. With a master's degree in some kind of, I don't know exactly what it was, some kind of a ministry degree and all like that, and I'm proud of that. I'm happy that he did so. I'm proud of, amen, that he has a degree in English, amen, in American literature and all like that. I'm proud of that. But I want to tell you this morning, the greatest thing that I'm proud of is the day, thank God, amen, that he made his way down that old-fashioned altar. Amen, the day that he walked up to me and wrapped his arm around me and told me, he said, Daddy, I want to get saved. I want to tell you that's the proudest day of my life for him. Thank God that he was saved by the grace of God. And the same thing with Brody. It's the greatest thing that we can do. It seems like today that so many parents are so worried about their children being able to enjoy sports and all like that, and all these secular activities, and young moms and dads will just about kill themselves, running here and running there, and everything, beloved friend, and they'll worry about everything, but getting their children down to the house of the Lord. Good friend of mine that I worked with, amen, good, and he knew better, he was raised in church. Good friend of mine that I work with, both of his children wound up on drugs, and both of his children wound up going to prison. And I remember him talking to me and telling me, Chris, I did everything. I made sure that they had the sports. I made sure that they did everything that they wanted to do to keep this from happening. And I don't understand it. And I looked at him and I knew that he had not raised his children in church as he had been raised. And I told him, I said, yeah, but you left the main thing that you needed to do undone in the lives of your children. Amen. I told him, I said, you never took them down to the house of God. Now that's no guarantee, my beloved friend. Absolutely, that won't go wrong. Sometimes children are raised right and parents do the best that they can and they still go wrong. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the best insurance that we have that our children will grow up right and grow up proper this morning is to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord and to teach them about the things of God this morning. And that's one of the main things that a good mother is going to do. She's going to open her mouth with wisdom. She's going to teach her children. Then I want you to notice verse 11 and verse number 12, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Verse number 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I want to tell you, a good godly woman this morning, amen, if she has her husband, she'll do her husband right. And I'm here to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, I'm not letting the men off the hook. Amen, if we're good godly men, then we will do our wives right. We'll treat one another right. We'll love one another. We'll care for one another. And we'll cherish one another. And we'll honor one another this morning if we truly love the Lord and we truly love our spouse this morning. And I want to tell you, a good godly mother, a good godly woman will do her husband glad. Amen. Again, Titus 2 and 4. This is Paul talking again to the aged women to teach the younger women. Teach the younger women to be sober. That is responsible to love their husbands, to love their children. I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, that when it comes to marriage and it comes to a man and woman and their relationship in the Lord, I'm talking about for Christians this morning. Amen. The man loving the woman and the woman loving the man, my beloved friend, is not up to your choice or your decision. But we are commanded this morning, amen, to love our wives and to love our husbands this morning by the word of God. Amen. Paul wrote the men and he told them, he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Thank God, my beloved friend, we ought to love, husbands ought to love their wives and wives ought to love their husbands to the point that they'd be willing to die for them if that was necessary this morning. But yet so many today, after just, and they say that anywhere from 40 to 50% of marriages in the United States of America end in divorce. And they say, my beloved, that the majority of those that end in divorce, it happens between the third and the seventh year of marriage before they can even really get to know one another. And they done declared, and they say that the number one reason, and they say we're just incompatible. In other words, we just can't get along. And the reason they can't get along, and the vast majority of the times, because they don't want to this morning. And I realize and I know that sometimes there are people that lose their husband or lose their wife through no fault of their own. But I'd say about 95% of the time, my beloved friend, when you go to look and see who's at fault because the marriage ended in divorce, amen, both of the people in that marriage share some responsibility. I want to tell you this morning, God commanded husbands to love their wives, and he has commanded wives, amen, to love their husbands this morning. And somebody might say, well, preacher, I can't make myself love somebody. Amen. Why would God want to tell you anything this morning and command you to do anything this morning you can't do? Amen, my beloved friend, God will not tell you to do something that you're not able to do this morning. And God commanded us to love one another. And I want to tell you, a good godly woman, a good godly mother, she's going to do her husband glad. And then again, Paul still speaking to the aged women, to teach the younger women. In Titus 2 and 5, he said to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, amen, we are to have a good relationship. We are to have a caring relationship. We are to have a loving relationship between husband and wife. God has commanded it so. And yet I hear men that I used to work with, don't hear it so much anymore, but I used to hear it all the time. And they'd run their wife down. And they'd talk about their wife like she was some kind of a dog. And I've heard women, when I worked with women, back when I worked at for Giant Food Market, I worked with a lot of women that were cashiers and different things. And I heard them run down their husbands like I heard husbands run down their wives. I'm here to tell you, honey, we're supposed to love our husbands. Amen. And we're supposed to love our wives. And by the way, amen, my beloved friend, that's one man married to one woman for one lifetime. Beloved friend, when Jesus was questioned about divorce, it's recorded in the Gospel of Mark. Amen. And they asked Jesus, said, why did Moses give us this precept? He said, for the hardness of your heart. And Moses gave this to you. He said, but from the beginning of the creation, it was not so. For in the beginning, God made them a male and female. And he said, the man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so that they're no more twain, they're no more two, but they're one this morning, my beloved. And we're supposed to love one another. And I'm here to tell you, a good godly woman will love her husband, and a good godly man will love his wife. I want to tell you, and I realize and I know that there are situations that happen to some people that cannot be helped. But I'm talking about the ones that can be this morning. Amen. We can be good to one another. We can care for one another. Amen. We can be kind to one another. And we ought to be this morning. I want to tell you, if God's blessed you with a wife, amen, and you still got her, be thankful for her. Amen. Be thankful to God that he gave you her. If you've got a husband and God, amen, is pleased to allow him to live and remain with you, appreciate him and love him this morning for the companion, amen, that God gave to you. I want to tell you, I remember, see, there's a lot of things that me and my wife used to do together that we can't do anymore. But one thing about it, we have one another. We're there with one another. We're there for one another. And I remember posting on YouTube how wonderful it is to have somebody to be with you, just to be with you, just to share your life. And my sister responded back and said, yes, it is. I want to tell you, God blessed us. God blessed marriage. And if you still have that, and I know a lot of you, your companions are gone. Some of you have lost them this morning. They've left this walk of life and they're no longer with you. But if they are this morning, I want to tell you, you need to thank God for it every day that he gives you together. I want to tell you this morning, I thank God for the last 41 years that God has blessed me with my little wife. I want to tell you, a good godly woman, she will do her husband good. And then I'm going to try to rush along as quick as I can. I want to look at verse number 28. And he said here, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. I want to tell you, a good godly woman this morning, my beloved friend, a good godly mother, a good godly wife, she's worthy of honor this morning. She's worthy of honor, first of all, from her husband. And did you ever wonder why that the marriage vows speaks? I don't know about everybody's marriage vows, but a lot of what I heard, and best I remember, mine and Karen's, that it will not only ask the woman to honor the man, but it will tell the man to honor the woman. Well, here it is, 1 Peter 3 and 7. speaking to the husbands about the wives, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We husbands are commanded this morning to honor our wives. And I want to tell you, if she's a good godly woman, it's easy. Amen. It's easy to honor. Amen. Some don't have that. Amen. They don't have a good godly, they have a wife or they have a husband, but they're not living for the Lord. And they're not a good godly husband or not a good godly wife. And they don't have that. But if God has blessed us, my beloved, with a union where the husband and the wife both are living for the Lord, I'm going to tell you, we need to be thankful for it this morning. And we need to praise God for it. And we need to give honor to that man and to that woman. Amen. My grandparents, my grandmother and grandfather, Christian, I don't really think they meant anything bad about it. But you know, I never did hear my granddad call my grandmother by her name. And I never did hear my grandmother call my granddad by his name. It was always old man and old woman. And I remember when I thought it was so strange when my grandfather died, as he gave his last breath, and my two aunts were nurses were with him in the bedroom. And my grandmother was sitting just through the door on the end of the couch where she could look in and she could see him. And as Papa passed away and Mama realized that he was gone, the only thing that she said was, "Oh God, old man, what am I going to do without you?" And that's all that she ever said about it. I didn't quite understand that, but and I'm sure that they really never meant anything bad about that. But I want to tell you, I have never called Karen old woman, and she has never called me old man. And a lot of men and women will do that, and they'll do it not as a term of endearment, but they'll do it, my beloved, for being mean. I want to tell you this morning, husbands are to honor their wives, and wives are to honor their husbands. And a good godly woman this morning, a good godly mother, will be honored of her husband this morning. What a blessing that is. And then I want to tell you, my beloved friend, she's worthy of honor from her children. Amen. I can't remember exactly where this is, but Paul tells us, he said, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, when that command was originally given, it was given to the children of Israel. And the command was, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the land of which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And that was because the nation of Israel was a natural people, and a lot of their promises was tied to that land. But you and I that are saved by the grace of God, that are members of the body of Christ, the church of the living God, we are not a natural people. We are a spiritual people this morning. And that promise is to us. It is the first commandment of promise, that it may be well with us, and that we might live long upon the earth. That means irregardless of where we are, or where we came from, what our background is, what nation we have belonged to, or what race we are, or creed, or any other thing. That's the first commandment with promise. We are to honor our father and honor our mother. And I want to tell you, beloved friend, it's easy for a good godly mother, for her children, to honor her. What a blessing that is. Then, beloved friend, I want to look, last of all, in verses 30 and 31, and I'm getting ready to come to a close. We see here in verse 30 and 31, he said, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." I want to tell you, beloved friend, in the end, if she's a good godly mother and a good godly wife and a good godly woman, in the end, she's going to be praised. My beloved, Colossians 3, 23 and 24, he said, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the inheritance." And then 1 Timothy 5, 24 and 25, he said, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid." I want to tell you, beloved friend, we ought to be good spouses to our husbands and to our wives for their sake and for the sakes of our marriages and our family life. And you and I as mothers and dads ought to be good mothers and dads for the sake of our children and the sake of our own self-respect and the sake of our family, my beloved. But above all, we should do those things for the Lord. Because, my beloved friend, whatever we do, in reality, we're doing it for the Lord. And we shall of the Lord receive the inheritance. And I think about the book of Revelation, and I'm going to come to a close here in just a moment. As we're told, he said, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, saith the Spirit, yea, that they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them." I want to tell you, if you've been a good godly woman, you've been a good godly man this morning, you've been a good godly husband, you've been a good godly wife, you've been a good godly mama, and you've been a good godly daddy, amen, you won't just receive honor in this life, but you'll receive honor in that which is to come. And I want to tell you this morning, above all else, the greatest responsibility that we have as fathers and mothers in this life, I'm talking about, my beloved friend, in our family life and in this natural life. Of course, naturally, we're to put the Lord first. The Bible said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But beloved friend, the second most important thing that we have to do in this life is to raise our children in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. And that not only our children, but everybody that we come into contact with, that we be a light unto them, that they might be able to see Christ in us, that maybe we might be able to influence their life. I want to tell you this morning, I thank God for good godly mothers. And I know that most of us here, I'm sure if not all, have had good godly mothers. And many of you have been good godly mothers. And you've raised your children right, and you've done the very best that you can. Maybe not always have they done what they ought to, but you raised them to know right the difference between right and wrong. And you showed them the way that they should go. And there may be some here, maybe that have children or grandchildren that are not saved, that are in sin. But I want to tell you, don't give up hope this morning. Again, let me quote you the promise, "Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it." Amen. There's been many a time that mom and daddy raised their children, and they didn't even live. My dad never lived to see my brother saved. I believe he knew about it, but he never saw it in this life. My great-grandfather Bishop never lived to see my great-uncle Joe get saved by the grace of God. But I believe he knew about it. Thank God, I'm here to tell you, if we'll claim the promise of God, I believe God will do all that he can to bring our people in. I want to tell you this morning, if you're here and you're a mother, I appreciate you. I thank God for you. And I think you've got one of the most important jobs that there is upon the face of the earth. And I want to tell you, it is your duty and your responsibility. You're the one supposed to be guiding the house. The way that the godly authority works is first Jesus Christ. Then it's the husband. Then it's the wife. Then it's the children. Unfortunately, in this day and age, and so many, and we're seeing it these spoiled brats that's been brainwashed on these college campuses, tearing up Jack and raising Cain and calling for the death of the Jews. Many of them, my beloved friend, they've been raised with everything reversed from what it ought to be. And mom and daddy's been on the bottom and they've let the kid be on top. And my beloved friend, I'm here to tell you that that's a recipe for disaster this morning.
Yes, it is.
And in many a family, it's even worse than that. It's the kids at the top, mama second, and daddy down on the bottom. And that's the reverse order it's supposed to be. The husband is the head of the household this morning. But I want to tell you, you mothers, you're the ones that are supposed to guide that house. And it don't abrogate dad's responsibility to teach his children and train his children, but mama usually is able to spend more time with them this morning, amen, than daddy can. I know my wife could. And she did a good job of raising my boys with me, and I thank God for that. And I want to tell you, if you're a good godly mother, I thank God for you, and I appreciate you this morning from the depths of my heart. I want to say that we thank God for each and every one of you.